Remember, Revelation is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ as the judge of the universe. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to be the sacrificial Savior. When a person rejects or does not accept the sacrifice of the sacrificial Savior, then they will face the Jesus Christ that is Revelation, that's being revealed in Revelation. And the plagues that are occurring in this book are authorized and ordered by Jesus Christ. Okay, in chapter 6, verse 1, where he starts opening up the seal judgments, chapter 6 has six of those judgments. Okay, that's the seal judgments. And of those, one of them, the fourth seal judgment, will include the one-fourth of world population dying. So you're talking 1.25 billion or 1.5 billion if you got 6 billion on Earth now. So one-fourth of that. Man, I thought I heard a wind blow. Okay, and so Revelation 6, verse 8, that's one-fourth of world population. Now, chapter 7 gets into a parenthesis where he throws in additional information about the Jews, 12,000 people, Jewish men, 12,000 from each tribe, making 144,000. Okay, chapter 8 and 9 goes into what is known as the seventh seal judgment, which has seven trumpet judgments inside of it. Okay, like in the Old Testament, the children of Israel walked around Jericho one time the first day, one time the second day, 6 days in a row, and then on the seventh day they walked seven times around it. Okay, and so you're dealing with 13 judgments. So when you throw the seven trumpets with the seven seals, you're dealing with 13 of them, because seven will be encompassed in the seventh itself. Okay, chapter 8, verse 1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Of course, some scholars use that to predict that there would be very, very few women in heaven at that time, because there's silence for a half hour. But you know how that goes. I know women and men talk a lot too. So, of course, Muhammad teaches that hell is mostly populated with women. You know, and the Mormons, of course, they got. I tell you, to be a Mormon and a Muslim would be terrible for females. I mean, just terrible. I mean, if they die in a jihad, they get 72. Well, they do say virgins. They don't say if it's men or women, but hopefully, I guess what they're wanting. Okay, and then in the Muslims, Mormons, they're eternally pregnant in the Mormon faith, because they're populating the planets. I mean, who wants eternal morning sickness? You know, and that's the Mormons and the Muslims. And there are very similarities between those two religions. And it's very similar. The founders, Muhammad and Joe Smith, are very similar. Waleed Shuabat's son was doing a study on that, and he's now written a book on that. Might be have some interesting things in that. But even at that, okay, everybody shuts up for a half hour in heaven. Okay, silence. That's where often where it gets real quiet before a storm. Okay, so there's silence in heaven about the space of half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar. Okay, this is the altar of the temple in heaven. The one that was down here is a replica of the one that's in heaven. Hebrews 9 and 10 writes about the one that's in heaven, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Okay, the word incense. Now, today, generally speaking, if you smell incense in somebody's house, they're usually trying to cover up the weed. That's usually what they're doing. Okay, but incense in the Bible is portrayed as prayer. Frankincense. Okay, frankincense would be something like your essential oils. And if you use some of these and put them in like a little aeronizer type thing where you spread out the incense or the frankincense into the air, often what that does is that affects moods of people. Okay, and so the essential oils and these herbs that are put in oils are very healing. But in this case, if you look at the word incense, it takes us back to Exodus chapter 30. Frankincense in Psalms 141, verse 2. Let's try that one. Psalms 141, verse 2. This is how we get the interpretation of the Bible. Bible interprets itself. And prayer, your prayers, God views them as sweet incense. Psalms 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So you can see prayer is as incense. Okay, in chapter 5, verse 8, I think even also portrays prayer as perfume that's in a bottle. Okay, Revelation 5, verse 8. Okay, back in Revelation 8, verse 4 now. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earth and an earthquake. Okay, and of course, we're seeing more and more natural phenomena, you know, just lately in itself. And all God has to do to get our attention is either turn the water on or turn the water off. That's all he's got to do. Then shake the ground a little bit here and there, you know, or send a tornado in. Those are known to be acts of God. And if the charismatics on TV really want to expand their ministry, okay, if they want to do greater things than Jesus did, I would advise any of those guys, Joel Osteen and all those guys, next time a hurricane or a hurricane comes in down in Florida, get the cameras out, get on the beach, you know, as it comes in, have the cameras running, and say, "Peace, be still." And then when it dies down, like it did for Jesus Christ, you know, they can do greater things than him. When it dies down, then they could broadcast that and then, you know, really expand their ministry. Now, personally, I hope they have waterproof cameras that are very heavy so that they stay, you know, can withstand a hurricane, because I think that'd be rather entertaining. These guys are a bunch of fakers claiming to do better than Christ can do. Ha, ha, ha. You say, well, Jesus said they were doing it. He's talking to the apostles. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see a lot of miracles that they did, that Christ did, and some a little bit, some of them a little interesting. But you're never going to see these guys feed 5,000 on a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, you're not going to see that. They're too busy trying to hoodwink people. Okay, and just the idea of the word charismatic, you know, that's an arrogant statement to call yourself, "I am full of charisma." I didn't even think about that. Okay, but these earthquakes, lightnings, and thundering voices, it is going to be so phenomenal in the tribulation, it is going to be beyond our comprehension. Now, a lot of the prophecy videos like Thief in the Night, you know, Left Behind series, you know, they tried to portray the best they could the tribulation, but I'll be honest with you, we can't even come close to how bad it's going to get. I mean, in the play, of course, you're very limited here, but, I mean, you do the best you can, but I tell you, if it's going to get so bad where God even tells the Son, you know, you need to roll back a little bit, you know, so these people can survive. It is going to be beyond human comprehension. Okay, Revelation 8, verse 6. Now we're going to get into the trumpets. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded. Now, when we read the rest of the chapter, to be quite honest with you, it is very easy to understand. Revelation is not a difficult book. It is one of the easier books in the Bible to teach. It's just that it's so out there. It is so wild and out there, it's hard to believe. But living in a day and age we are living in, with modern technology and with Hollywood, Hollywood is gearing everybody up for this. I mean, if you cannot, I mean, just to see the previews of a lot of these shows coming out nowadays where they've got, you know, aliens coming into women, they've got the Incredible Hulk. Why do they have him turn green? That is a Bible thing. You see? Why do they have the green ninja turtles or reptilians that come in to be the heroes? That is gearing everybody up for the tribulation, where the reptilian comes down, floating down after the rapture takes place. There's a big sonic boom, people trying to figure out. Here comes something floating down, steps out with a, you know, 13 feet tall, and he gives the peace sign. Peace, brothers. I've come to save you. And then everybody buys into it. Americans are ready for it. The mark of the beast, they wouldn't even care less about that. 20 years ago, if you told people that we're going to tattoo your body, we're going to put a bunch of stuff, you know, people would say, "You what, are you nuts?" I mean, when I was growing up, one ear ring in the ear meant a full-fledged fag. Now it's, hey, they're not going to resist the mark of the beast. They're resisting. Oh, come on! They're going to, hey, put her in. And it'd be the Christians would be the first ones leading the charge, the professing Christians. I say professing because the true Christians are going to be out of here. Okay, but they'll be right in there. It's amazing. Sinclair Lewis said that when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag carrying a cross. And boy, there's a lot of truth in that. What does that mean? It means that when fascism steps in, people will think you have to be patriotic to adopt it. The Patriot Act. The Patriot Act is a fascist act. They call it patriot. It ain't patriot. You know, homeland security. Homeland. Who's the last one talked about the homeland? Adolf Hitler. Defending the homeland. You see, and I mean, Americans will welcome this. America spelled with a K. You ever look at the Soviet Union's constitution? We are following that almost to a T. And so, when the tribulation comes, you know, when Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was on earth, the most religious, conservative, professing religion of that day, the Pharisees, called the Lord Jesus the devil. And when the devil shows up, the most conservative, professing religious structure of that day will call the devil the Antichrist. They'll call him Jesus Christ. Almost always get this thing backwards. So when we start reading through verse 7, this is not difficult at all. You just believe what it says. Okay, verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. See, what is that? That's hail and fire mingled with blood. So what's the Greek say? The Greek says it's hail and fire mingled with blood. Nothing difficult about it. It doesn't say like or as, does it? If it said what followed is like hail and fire and like blood, okay, that's different. Those are the two key words when you read through the Bible, like and as. It's hail. Okay, not in this case. It doesn't say the size of hail. There's going to be another one that says hail will be the size of a talent. And just look at a dictionary, and that we're dealing with about 100-pounder. I do believe that's going to cause hail damage. Okay. In Colorado one time, we got a lot of hail in Colorado Springs. You're high altitude, and we'd get hail. And one time I remember the back picnic table was just like an inch and a half thick of hail. And it would come down, and then it just stopped, you know, all that stuff. So one time I had my truck sitting right out in front of the garage, and I thought, well, I'm just going to run from the garage just no more 10 feet to the truck, pull it in, you know, so I won't get hail damage. I don't know why, as a beater anyway. And, man, I got beat to death. I got welts all upside back of my head and everything. And, man, it was just seconds out there. So then I went in and got a big coat and put on a football helmet and then ran out and got in there and pulled it in. But that was not even golf ball size hail. That was little stuff. Wait till this big stuff comes. Okay, hailstones. Now, hail and fire mingled with blood. How do those two get together? You would think the fire would melt it, but it's coming down. And they were cast upon the earth, and third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass is burned up. So what's it mean? It means exactly what it says. The tree huggers are going to be crying. One third of the trees. Okay, that's the first. That's first trumpet judgment. Nothing difficult about that. It's going to torch it. Verse 8. And the angel, the second angel, sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Now notice the word as. So here we have a description. It's not a great mountain, but it looks like a huge rock. Meteorite, I don't know. Okay, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. What sea? Probably Mediterranean Sea. I don't know. Ocean, maybe. I don't know. Probably the Mediterranean Sea because the thing's focused around Israel. But, and a third part of the sea became blood. So all the creatures died. Now you can smell it. Okay, nothing difficult about that. 9 and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. So we got the, you know, ships out there and everything. Again, nothing difficult about that. Okay, probably the only difficulty is where does this take place? What is he talking about? My guess would be the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, that whole area in there. Even the Red Sea. And if you want to throw in the ocean, go ahead. But you're still dealing with a much loss of life there. Verse 10, third trumpet judgment. Nothing difficult about this. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. So when you wish upon a star, make sure it's the right one. Okay, so this great star is falling from heaven. Okay, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of waters because they were made bitter. Okay, again, where is this landing? Is this a third part of the entire world? Or is this third part of the Middle East area? Probably the Middle East area. Okay, but again, we don't want to limit the Bible, but here we got a great big burning thing coming out of the sky. And this is often, UFOs are often referred to as something on a light, a fast light. Okay, in the old days, they'd call them a fireball. Okay, and so whatever this is, it takes a lot of damage with it. Wormwood, poison. Okay, and it makes the waters bitter. Now, at that point, it makes the waters bitter. If the evangelists of Revelation 7 are around that water, one of the miracles of the apostolic gifts is they'll be able to drink the water and will not hurt them. Okay, that's for those evangelists. Okay, verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now, has he taken one third of the light, or is he shutting it down for one third of the day? Okay, your guess is as good as mine, the moon and the stars. Okay, the third part of them darkened, the day shone not for a third part of it. Now, that is going to be something. Now, when you think about Calvary, remember that it got dark from 12 to 3. Wonder how the scientists of those days, you know, brought that up in the media. no new thing under the sun. You know, I wonder how they justified that. You know, some eclipse. Have no idea. Okay, that's 12, 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud verse, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voice of the trumpet of the three angels which were yet to come, or yet to sound. Three woes, when you got woe in there in the Bible, you're dealing with something that's pretty bad. So those will be the completion of the seventh seal with the last four trumpet judgment. Now, chapter 9, you have the fifth seal judgment, or trumpet judgment. And this one is given the most amount of comments. Okay? It runs clear down to verse 11. Verse 12 talks about one woe, and they got two more to go. Then verse 13 deals with the sixth trumpet judgment, the sixth angel. Okay, so that one goes down quite a bit also. Okay, and so then chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel. Five in the Bible generally is referring to death. Some say grace. You could say grace, but when you reject the grace, it refers to death. Genesis 5, verse 5, the first man, Adam, died. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Okay, so now we got that again, a star falling from heaven. Now you go down to Disney and Company, they're going to make a big deal about stars falling from heaven. And the Disney Company, if you analyze many of those kids' shows with prophecy in mind, you're going to find there's quite a bit of demonic New Age information being pushed by Disney Company. Sodomy is being pushed very subtly, but it's there also. That, you know, this is nothing new under the sun. This is one of the Satan's ploys, where he will use cute little innocent characters in cartoons or animals to promote wickedness. Okay, and it's very subtle. The children often don't pick it up, but it's right there. And many of the cartoons of today are just downright full-fledged satanic. I mean, full-fledged. They're not hiding anything now. I mean, like little old Smurfs. Why is it they all had male Smurfs? Were they fruits? You know, and hey, the writers of these companies, they're going to push their beliefs. The Disney Company boasts of having 40% sodomites in their employees. They're drawing these cartoons. These people are not going to hide what they believe. They want more recruits. And so, you know, I'm just telling you, you gotta keep your eyes open and make sure you observe what your children are looking at and be honest with it, and don't let them watch this trash. Okay, and point out what they're being taught. So you got a star falling from heaven. Now this star, in the Bible, remember, stars are portrayed to be messengers of some type. Chapter 1, verse 12 or 20, a star is an angel. So this is an angel, or this is a fallen angel. Now, when you take the star and invert it, that's usually referred to as the goat head of Mendes, the goat head of Mendes. You ever see the Congressional Medal of Honor? That's an inverted star. That's a goat head. That's a worship of the pagan god. You see, and a lot of times you'll have some of these secret society people will design these medals for their gods. And if you go to, you know, if you go to the government buildings, you're going to find satanic symbols all through there, and you're going to find Christian symbols through there. Because in America, Christianity and Satanism has been walking side by side from the start. Now, granted, at the beginning of America, Christianity had the greatest influence. But today, it's the other way around. Okay, and so this in the Bible is when these friends in high places, it says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, against friends in spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the friends in high places. And if the average, if we as Americans, if it was really truly published what some of these high officials do in the dark, we would be shocked. We really would be. I mean, do you remember, some of you remember when Nancy Reagan, when it came out that Nancy Reagan consulted the stars when Ronald Reagan should fly? I mean, that was just, you know, and people just was alarmed at that. You know, and they've been doing this for years. In the Bible, in Roman days, they would call a person like that, could do that, an augur. A-U-G-U-R. Okay, and what they would do is they would study, they'd dissect the bird and look at the liver and look at this and look at that, and then they would figure out which way they should go with a certain decision. And of course, the Antichrist is going to do this. This is where we get the word an inaugural address. It's an augur. Why? It's because who is in charge of the kingdom of heaven today? Satan is. And he gives it to whomsoever he will. And so, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't get involved in politics, but just keep in mind your Bible. If you don't keep in mind the Word of God and what God's agenda is, you will be very discouraged and upset with definitely who we got going running for president. You know, it ain't the lesser of two evils. Man, we are down, way down below the barrel. I mean, down there, I mean, one is a full-fledged socialist and the other is a fascist. I mean, what are you going to get? You ain't getting anything. And so, but people get real discouraged with that. Hey, this is all Bible prophecy. The new world order is coming in no matter what you and I do. Granted, we are to occupy, but oh, glory be to God, the more Dubai expands and expands. Get on a search engine and look up Dubai. The playground for the new world order. The fastest growing place on earth as far as entertainment and everything. I mean, that is where the new world order will sit there and have their little jollies, and we will have so much more jollies in heaven. You see? And so all this is just lining up as pretty as could be, and just shows the power of the Bible itself. So this star, this angel, or this star fall from heaven upon earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So this star is a he, a him. He is a ruler of some type. He has authority over the bottomless pit. Okay, and then it says he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was power, given power as the scorpions of the earth with power. Now you got a monster coming out. Locusts, scorpions. You keep reading down, these things will sound like horses prepared to battle. They've got the hair of women, the teeth of lion. You've got evolution in reverse. Okay, this is your Twilight Zone. When I was a kid, probably the scary things they'd put on is what was called a night gallery. You remember night gallery? You know, it's funny, as a kid, I'd watch a couple of scary shows and I'd go to bed and say, Lord, please don't let me have a bad dream. And it never dawned on me, don't watch the show, stupid. You know? But I remember one of those things, happened to be seeing it, this one guy got in a car accident and it showed him sliding down a chute. Landed in hell. You know, so they must have had clothes chutes or something. So he lands in hell. So his hell for eternity was to watch the homemade movies of these two elderly people. That was his hell. You know, he thought that was pretty bad. Oh, if it was that easy. If it was that easy. Okay, Revelation 9, hell is being opened up. Okay, where at? Probably over by the Dead Sea. That's the lowest place on earth. He's opening up hell. Smoke is spewing out. Here comes the creatures out of there. And what are they going to do? And verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. So you can see some of it's grown back. Okay, they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Okay, so these locusts come out and start stinging people. The ones with the seal of God in their foreheads, that's chapter 7. Now, this is a bad thing, verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That's pretty... Man, you're dealing with something bad here. Okay, it's like, you know, you ever see videos of the building, the towers, when they come down and people are jumping out of those buildings? Coming out? Can you imagine those people trying to jump out of those buildings, get away from the fire? As soon as they hit the ground and their soul was in hell, they wish they were back in the building. Okay, but that's something. Now, you know, you can let your imagination run on this, verse 5 and 6. What do you mean they can't die? Okay, it says they shall desire to die and death shall flee from them. Just torture. Giving them a little bit of taste of hell so that they don't want to go there. Okay, here's these monsters, verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Notice they're not horses, they're like horses. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. So is that a beard? Okay, and they had hair as the hair of women, long hair, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Now, you ever see that guy that wants to live like a cat? Got his teeth sharpened. He had whiskers implanted in his face. And he's got tattoos and his eyes are up like this. You know? Yeah. You probably want some married cat woman. I don't know. But that's demonic. That is beyond flesh. Okay? And so here you got people are doing that today. They're just nuts. Okay, and of course, it's a slow progression down. Now, these are beings that come out of hell, out of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit's inside the earth. The earth is hollow like a donut. Okay, and some people actually think that if you walk clear to the North Pole, you find the hole, and then you can walk around and walk on the inside of the earth. And I have not a clue, and who really cares? But the Bible obviously shows that the earth is hollow because that's where the bottomless pit is. Abraham's bosom is down there. Okay, so verse 9, and they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. So they've got metal, okay, armor. And so you're already seeing stuff being pushed out by Hollywood where you have some beings are fleshly, some beings are man and creatures, some beings are robotic, some beings are completely satanic. You're going to have all of this being taken place, and it is not going to be television. And I can imagine the average person that has watched this stuff all their life, when they see one going by, oh, cool, man. And when that thing looks at them and zaps them like that, they will not say, cool, man, anymore. And they will be fried. It's reality. Americans are so conditioned to watching and watching and watching. They see an accident. Oh, ain't that cool? That's real life. That is real life there. That's not pretend. Okay, so verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Polion. Now, there's Nassau right there. Apollos. Why is it that they choose demonic names for their ships? And they will launch those at certain time periods. Gemini. Who is fascinated with going up? In the Bible, the ones who are fascinated with going up is Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, and Isaiah 14, Satan. We haven't even figured out the ocean yet. What are they infatuated about going up for? Go to Mars? Go to the moon? I've seen videos where it even makes the idea of going to the moon. I don't know if I buy into that stuff. I just really got a hard time with that stuff. I mean, that if you try to figure all that stuff out, I remember my sister, she went to Bob Jones, and she was telling me about the Russians, where they got to see a film about the Russian cosmonauts and all this stuff. And she said, if you look closely, you can see the air bubbles. They were underwater trying to make it look like they were in space. Maybe some of you have seen it where you can see the flag on the moon where it has two light shadows, where they have like a camera light over here, or a possibility that they staged all this on Area 51 where they got another light shadow coming across this way. And they asked one of the astronauts when they got back, and they asked him, hey, what were the stars like when you saw them? Hey, come on, could you see the stars from the moon with pretty good view? One of them said, stars? Stars? I never saw any stars. Now, how come we hadn't gone back? I don't know. I just got a problem with some of that stuff. I just really think a lot of it's a hoax. Maybe they got there, maybe they didn't. I don't know. I'm more like that, the Rocket Man. I think it's kind of a hoax, like, you know. I mean, that to me was a good show, the Rocket Man. Okay, but even at that, I don't know. This thing Apollyon. The Bible teaches that you, a man, has dominion over the first heaven, the earth, and the seas. If man really wants the answers, if man is really wanting the answers about life and about eternity, forget about going up. Go down. Get to the Bermuda Triangle and go down. Figure out what's below the Bermuda Triangle. Jacques Cousteau went over to the Devil's Triangle. That's the Bermuda Triangle on Japan side. Came up white as a ghost, and he's asking him what he saw. He said, I ain't telling anybody. Yeah, while he's down there, I think a devil came knocked in the thing and said, hello. And the thing is if man, he hadn't figured out the oceans yet. If man really wants to find the answers, you go down rather than go up. Satan is infatuated with going up. Why? They want to exalt themselves above the stars of God. Okay, and so here he is. Now notice the king of the bottomless pit. He's got a Greek name. He's got a Hebrew name. Okay, and the name means destroyer. He's a destroyer. Okay, Judas Iscariot. Judas is Hebrew. Iscariot is Greek. Now, we can, you know, spend some time on this name here, but the king of the pit, most likely, is Judas Iscariot. And it's most likely that he is coming back to mimic or copy the second coming of Christ, where you have the second coming of the devil. Why would I think that? Acts chapter 1, verse 25 mentions that when Judas died, he went to his place. His place. John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, so Judas Iscariot is a devil. He went to his place. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 41, that hell was made for the devil and his angels. So Judas Iscariot would be Satan incarnate. Satan indwelled him. That's when he betrayed Christ. So when his spirit, if his spirit comes back, It mentions that the beast, the Antichrist in Revelation, was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So it would be very likely that Judas Iscariot comes back to indwell the Antichrist. Okay, and he has been the king over the bottomless pit, verse 11. Okay, and here you have a Hebrew name and a Greek name. Then verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Okay, then verse 13 starts into the sixth trumpet judgment. Okay, and then the seventh trumpet judgment.